This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I tell you.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, glorious, rebooted, fresh, in the new year with a wonderful pink sweater, which she's not wearing right now, but which she's in love with, co-host Amanda.
Are you on crack?
Am I on crack?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that I pulled through with this entire introduction because A, my brain is so mush that I already had like three different conversations with people about different things than they were actually talking about. And also, we just got a resub and I did talk through the notification.
You did a good job. You did a good job. And, you know, you having a different conversation with people than the conversation that they're having with you, that's a pretty common occurrence.
I know. And I'm already excited for you today, considering I already started three different things with people. And I'm like, oh my God, Amanda's going to be so excited because she's going to happen probably something like that's going to happen again today. And sorry
more
for
than
that
likely
in advance.
You know, I would not be surprised that this happens again because, you know, it's the whole, we're talking about my brain just farted. What's her name?
Wonder Woman?
No.
Diana?
No.
What did you say?
No. It's gone. I can't even remember. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time.
Perfect. Oh, God.
Cameron Diaz and Gwyneth Paltrow.
There we go. Those two. Did you just give yourself a high five?
Yes, I did. That was hard work, okay?
I'm not sure. There is definitely I'm not sure if I even have one brain cell to start with today, so I'm sorry for everyone, but here we are.
It's been a day. It's been a Tuesday,
but I managed to set up two membership sites today.
That's impressive.
I know, and so I'm like, I'm allowed to have a very mushy brain, and the rest of the week is hopefully going to be better because everything else I mostly set up today already, so yay me, I hope.
I'm doing a little dance for you and being successful in some way or another.
Well, thank you very much.
Whatever that was.
Anyway, today we're going to talk about something that we have been wanting to talk about forever. And now it's here. And I don't know how much we want to talk about it still.
Yep. So we're talking about the blockbuster movie that we've all been waiting for since June. Wonder Woman 1984. And obviously we've been waiting for it before then. And we watched it.
I don't even know where to begin, honestly. Number one, I would like to, first of all, very much complain that this movie has been released on one US streaming service, and that's it. How the fuck do people think that they will get anyone to watch this legally, I might add, without releasing it worldwide on one platform or the other? No, It was on HBO Max.
And that was that.
And that was that. You could not, like, I tried, honestly. I tried to, like, purchase something with a VPN for maybe 1 month or whatever. But that also doesn't work. So, fuck you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. It was, like, the one time that my dad's dodgy service that he pays for came in handy. I was like, oh, it's on there. Cool.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But saved my ass a few times, to be fair.
Not with the Christmas movie, apparently.
No, not with that one, no.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anyway. So we both watched it, and can there be some preface of the movie where we talk about the movie without it being spoilers? Just wondering.
No.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it yet, maybe don't continue to listen to this episode because...
I mean, the other option is, if you listen to this episode, we're actually saving you and you don't need to watch it then.
Maybe, yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe that's better for everyone involved.
Yes, maybe. I mean, I feel I kind of still would watch it, even if somebody said it's not great, because I kind of need to confirm it for myself, you know?
True.
And... honestly, so content-wise, there's not really much that you would be so super surprised that would, like, kind of blow you out of the water when you watch the movie that's, like, life-changing in the storyline. So it's not actually really something where you would be like, whatever. Because if you know what the story is kind of about, you would kind of be able to assume how it goes down in one way or the other.
True.
There are just a few parts in it that just gets super fucking weird.
A few?
Somehow.
Just a few?
Well.
So I want to start by saying that the first reiteration of Wonder Woman that came out a few years ago, it was really good. Like, that was a pretty fantastic film. I got chills. I was, like, feeling super inspired. And I was like, yeah, Wonder Woman continues to be fucking awesome. And so I was really looking forward to this one. Not least because the movie poster... like, with Diana, with all the rainbow, like, colors behind her, is one of the best posters ever. Like, that is...
yeah.
I was looking for it as soon as it released. I was like, I need this poster. I need this poster. And, like, fast forward 7 months since that... 7-8 months since that poster's been released. And I'm like, I'm kind of glad I don't have that poster.
Yeah. I mean, the first Wonder Woman movie... Gal Gadot is... one-of-a-kind human species. Like, she alone... I don't want to even discredit whatever she did in that movie, because she's just... she's so beautiful. She's a badass in general, and she's just great. Like, I like her a lot, but I just really did not like the story in this second movie. I liked it in the first one. It made, like, sense. It was cute. It was great. It was empowering. It was... I don't know, amazing, but this one, for whatever reason, could not at all deliver, like, not at all.
Right.
And it was hyped so much, and we were, like, both looking forward to it so much, even without the picture, like, what we knew, I was like, this is gonna be great, it's gonna be an amazing movie, it's gonna be in the 80s, it's gonna be epic. No, it's not. Nope.
Even, like, I was talking about this with Tom and a couple of friends yesterday, actually the people that I do the 5.5 podcast with, because Wonder Woman 1984 is currently rated 5.5 on IMDb, and we're like,
no shit,
we could do this. And Tom was like, you know, it's set in the 80s. How could it be a bad movie? It's an 80s movie. How could it be? Well, let us count the ways.
Let us count there are many. The ways.
Like, even the things that were like, super 80s about it, like the fashion montage with Steve trying on clothes, and like it just landed flat to me. There wasn't any point in this movie that I was like, that was great, like that was a great scene, because there was something missing for me through the entire film. And like, we had to stop halfway through because I can't last like a whole 2 hours. I have to go up and pee. And my mom was like, this is really different from the Wonder Woman that I grew up with. And I was like, yeah, this movie's shit. And she was like, well, aww. I didn't want to say that. And I was like,
oh, adorable. Oh, I'm sad that she even said it's different than the Wonder Woman she grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, the movie generally starts out, we're in the 80s now, so Diana is working in the
Smithsonian
Museum. Yeah. She is like, apparently, when was the first movie? In the 40s? It was in wartime, so yeah, I suppose 40s. It was kind of World War II or whatever. Mm-hmm. The love of her life has been dead for 40 fucking years now, okay? 40 years.
And she knew him for what, 7 days?
Yeah. Whatever. Love is love. I can get over that. But she's desperate. She's like, she's doing her superhero things. She's working in the museum. And that's it. Period. Ugh. And you're like, what? Why? What? 40 years? And it's like, there's nothing else that she's doing. She doesn't have a pair. It doesn't look like she has any friends at all whatsoever. She has no social life. Also, apparently, what it looks like. No social life besides work and being superheroine. And is constantly in mourning. Like, she's like, so sulky all the time. However, I'd like to preface that with something that happens at the very beginning of the movie, because you do see a 10-year-old Diana at the island that she grew up with, which I forgot the name of already. And Gemma's like, I can never watch this movie.
Yeah. And honestly, like, just before you go to 10-year-old Diana, I'm going to say, like, lovesick Wonder Woman is not my idea of what Wonder Woman is. Like, somebody, no. Like, she's just pining for this man that she, okay, yeah, okay, she fell in love with him. It was a great love story, blah, 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 whatever. 40 years later, and she's still pining. I'm like, Wonder Woman, what you doing? You're Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, and you think in the beginning it's already kind of bad, but it gets worse.
Does it ever?
But again, at the beginning of the movie, you see like a 10-year-old Diana fighting in this Olympics that they have on the island or whatever, something along
those
lines.
It gave me like Ninja Warrior vibes, like, you know, that game show where you compete in Ninja Warrior, yeah. Except it's like all the Amazonian women competing.
I mean, that's, I like that. That was like the first few minutes, they were really great. They were amazing. She kind of learned a super important lesson in that first 10 minutes. That was really great. It like was super empowering because you saw a 10-year-old girl kicking some major ass. And I think for girls around the world, that would have been amazing. Wouldn't the rest of the movie not have been so fucking weird?
Yeah. And I just want to say as well, like, that first scene was 11 minutes long. So, yeah, it was, like, the best 11 minutes
of the movie. It was the best part of the movie. Yes, it really was. It really, yeah. Really was.
So we, okay, I have a lot of issues. My hands are like, whoop. Okay, so we got introduced to this character played by Kristen Wiig. She's called Barbara. She's this, like, nerdy woman who's like interested in languages and artifacts and gemstones and like stuff from history, like historic jewelry and artifacts and stuff. And like, she's cool. And I don't know about you, but I was like living for her fashion. I was like, best part ever. I love her. She's amazing. I want to be Barbara because she's really cool. Like, but of course, because we all work in stereotypes, she's a nerd. And she's a female nerd, and she can't walk in heels, and it's the 80s, so of course, she has no friends, and she's not cool, and she has to change everything about her to be accepted by society. And I'm like, okay, even with this being a movie set in 1984, it is now 2020. Can we, like, get some new material that isn't shaming women for what they look like, what they're interested in, how their ability to walk in high heels? I'm like, come on. This is a movie about a female superhero, about like women's empowerment, and we're still doing this shit? Mm-mm. Not for me.
Also, at the same time, I think it's super fucking weird because they would have had a moment, like, they built her up on this preface that all she wants to be is Diana, basically, in the end, because that's what she went for. But Diana never really encouraged it, so Wonder Woman never really encouraged that entirely. And I'm like, this could have been such a great moment, right? This could have been so good that she's just like, do whatever the fuck it is that you want to do. Be the freak. Because in nerdiness, they were equal, right? Like, Diana was just as nerdy about everything that she's doing. She was like this super brain in the Smithsonian about everything that they've going on, that they've got going on. And then there was this Barbara who was kind of matching her brain-wise, but not in confidence. And that would have been such a great moment, right? They started to become friends and they were super excited, and they could have been, which was also super over the top, this friendship situation. I was like, why? What? So
because
anyway,
a popular girl was giving the nerdy girl the time of day, so the nerdy girl was like, oh my god,
but the thing
girl,
is
glorifying you, want to be everything the same as you instead of being my own damn person. Sorry, I have issues.
The thing though that I find so weird in this moment is that it's not something that's motivated from Diana herself at all. Like, it's something that they kind of pushed onto the story. It's not encouraged by Wonder Woman herself whatsoever, but it's so important for the story at the same time. And I'm like, why the fuck would you do this? Why the fuck would you not have this become a really good, like, a nice friendship that then... But then, okay, however would she become an evil villain in the end if she wouldn't have had this jealous situation or whatever going on? I don't know. At least it was so disturbing in so many ways.
It was like hero worshipping of the worst kind, really. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it made me so annoyed. Like, so annoyed because I was living for Barbara. I was like, she is amazing. And they ruined her. They really ruined her.
Yeah. And it's so sad because everybody was also looking forward to not only having Wonder Woman in a movie, but also the first kind of evil villain situation. And you expected so much, or like everybody expected so much from this as well, and expected like this huge badass fight between the two of them. But then the showdown with this situation was all just embarrassing. Like, they over CGI'd her so much, and then they just, the fight was like, what, 2 minutes long, and then all of a sudden it was over. And I'm like, this is everything you've got?
Right. And like, not only was this fight like 2 minutes long, it was also in the dark, and like, you couldn't really see it all that well. It was like, oh, they're taken, you know, why is it in the dark? Like, okay, I get that it was in the dark because story, but like, why couldn't they have done that in the daylight so we could actually see what was going on? But no, 2 minutes and in the dark. And I'm gonna quote from a YouTube video I watched today called from Screen Rant, and it was just like, and you know, when a cat gets electrocuted, they just go to sleep and then she's gonna be fine.
It was so weird. It was so freaking weird. But in general, the story revolves around this stone that they, if you touch it and wish for something, the wish becomes true, basically. So kind of like a genie in a bottle situation, just in a stone version.
Yes, so it's called the Dream Stone, and of course they need to figure out what it is, because it just kind of appears in the Smithsonian. They're like, oh, Barbara, can you figure out what the stone is? And they're like, oh, this is amazing. And then this guy kind of walks up and he's like, oh, I wish I had a coffee. And then somebody shows up and, oh, hey, anybody want a coffee? And he's like, score, free coffee. That was weird. And yeah, they discover that actually wishing on this dream stone makes your wishes and dreams come true.
And then we have
consequences.
With dire consequences, but only with dire consequences when you cast a role with someone. And that was, for me, literally the hard, not even, but that was like one of the most hardest parts in this movie as well. The movie has more than one villain, right? So it has Barbara, who we talked about previously, who turns into Cheetah in the end. And then you have the fucking Mandalorian playing the super evil human lawyer guy. And you're like, what the fuck is even going on? Number one, his visuals. I'm like, what? What did you do? Why did you do this to him? And then he's playing this role. And honestly, I am not sure if I would like him if that were the first role I had ever seen of him as an actor.
Same. Oh, it was really slimy, God. Really smarmy, like really like 1980s kind of businessman whose business isn't working out, and like he's just kind of sleazy and gross. And of course, stereotypically, that dad, who's like, you know, that's totally a 1980s stereotype as well.
a bad dad.
Yeah, like that kind
well,
of
he's
like,
a bad human in general.
Sleazy
like,
businessman, bad dad. Like it all just kind
I
of
I do think though for the 80s he loved his kid more than they would have done in the 80s, more publicly than they would have done in the 80s.
Maybe.
That's as much as credit as I give him, because there wouldn't have been any form of emotional, not a lot at least, a form of emotional exchange between a son and a father in the 80s the way they did it in the movie. So I think that's at least some kind of progression, because in the end, okay. because of the son, he kind of also came around, and I'm not sure how often that would necessarily happen. Considering men are not allowed to show so many emotions at all or whatsoever, which is bullshit, by the way.
Yeah, agreed. But okay, so this Dreamstone, Pedro Pascal's character, which I cannot remember his name. I'm trying to find it in all of the like 100 articles that I have open right now, but I can't find his name in the film. Doesn't matter. It does matter. Somebody find it for me. He has been researching this Dreamstone for years, trying to find it. And I'm like, okay, how do you know?
Max Lord.
Max Lord, thank you. How does Max Lord know what this Dreamstone is when the people who work at the Smithsonian and actually study history and study all of the, like all of these really random artifacts from history have never heard of it? But little old Max Lord is like obsessed with finding the stone. And I'm just like, that seems strange.
Did we ever like, find out why? No, right?
No, he just thought that, oh, it must be true and it brings immense power. And I'm like, but how do you know about this? Like,
fair
point. I know that that's such like a really weird thing to be picky about, but that like, I can't wrap my head around, like, how does this guy know about this super powerful artifact when the people who work in the freaking museum have no idea about it? Not like museums are be all end all, but I'm still just like, this. It's just one more thing that doesn't make sense.
The thing is that it took two super smart women to figure out what the stone was and where it came from. And he already knew and we never figured out why he knew. True.
Yeah.
That didn't occur to me, but yes, that's a fact.
It's a fact. It's a thing.
But for me personally, worst of all is what happened with the stone and with Diana.
Ugh.
Because fuck me, I didn't get that. Whatsoever. So obviously, as Amanda said, the stone grants your wishes, right? And Diana touched it before they know that the stone actually makes shit happen. She kind of holds the stone in her hand, and then obviously because she is pining for Chris Pine, which is not
what she did there.
for her, I forgot his name already.
Trevor.
Oh, yeah, Steve Trevor. For her one and only true freaking love, Steve, she holds a stone and kind of wishes for him to, I don't know what exactly, but kind of be back in her life or come back to, well, must not have been come back to life because whatever happened was super fucking weird, but kind of she wanted him back, right? That's the essence of it all.
Oh, he comes back.
But how he comes back as well. He's not a zombie that, like, he's not just, Jesus, people, you can't imagine. How he comes back is that apparently he possesses in one way or whatever way fucking other, some random dude. The guy walks up to you see, the scene when it happens, basically, a stranger, the stranger walks up to Diana talking to her as if he knows her and she has no idea in the moment who the fuck that dude is. And obviously because she's pining so much over her Chris Pine, she's not interested in the dude whatsoever. And then the dude says something about whatever happened ages 40 fucking years ago. And all of a sudden you as a viewer see it's Chris Pine, right? And you were like, what the fuck is happened now and what the fuck is even happening? So apparently she then immediately knew or whatever that this was the person is, I don't know, has the soul of her Steve or what I honestly I still don't get what exactly happened, but from this moment on the actor who doesn't look like Chris Pine is out of the picture and Chris Pine is basically this random stranger that just before talked to Diana just like that. And I'm like, and she's super cool with it.
Right. She's not like, okay, so Steve gives us the line, I wish we had more time, because that's how she knows. And she's like, oh, all of a sudden it's magically transformed into Steve Rogers, you know, like this movie could be anything, right?
Obviously.
Right. It could be. And like, so he's existing, his consciousness, in this man's body, but she doesn't see this random man anymore. She sees Steve Trevor. And everybody else sees this random man. And even when Steve Trevor looks in a mirror, he still seems a random dude. Okay, so I have many questions. Many questions. Number one, where is the dude's consciousness? Like, is it just camped out? Is he like, am I being possessed? Where's my brain? Does he fall asleep? Like, what's he doing? Does he just have like this blank of a few days, a few weeks that he is like no recollection? Does he think he's been in a coma? Is he there the whole time, like watching, like back?
He can't be here the whole time, watching the whole time, because otherwise they would have known in the end.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yep. So where does he go? Where does his consciousness go? Does he die? Like, does he just go to like body heaven? Consciousness just gone. Like, what is happening right now? What is happening? Okay. And okay, that number one. Number two, they have sex. Okay. Steve Trevor has sex with Diana with this man's body. So she's essentially raping this man. There's no consent here. She's like seen this dude totally nude. She's like done all of the things with this dude, thinking that it's Steve, and Steve
but
is there.
She's seeing her Steve, though. That's like super next level calling that rape, because consciousness wise the dude is not even there anymore.
But dude's body is. Dude's body is. That's not Steve's body. That's dude's body. Dude, and I'm calling him dude because he does not even have a name. He is just called attractive man on the IMDb profile. Attractive man. That's it. Attractive. He's not given a name. Okay? Like, there is zero levels of consent from this man who is, like, his body is just being used and abused as Steve and Diana's plaything. They're like, oh, let's just like have all the sex we want here. And like, it's okay. Like, it's not cool. Like, 12 levels of not cool.
I mean, that's a deep ethical. I mean, that's a deep. There are so many aspects of this conversation where I would be like, for me, it generally starts with how the fuck is she so fucking okay with the fact that that's just what it is now. Like, he comes in within like 5 seconds, like there is literally no longer conversation then. No, is it really or whatever? And all of a sudden they snog, and I'm like, that's all that you need? Like, I mean obviously when I would be pining for 40 fucking years, then I would like really need something, obviously, the second that I assume that the guy I'm in love with for forever is like standing at my doorstep, you know? So then, I mean, but Jesus fucking Christ, why did somebody write the story and think that's a good idea to do it like this? Because that's not making anyone at all whatsoever question our choices in filmmaking or something. Jesus.
Monica, did the Dreamstone create nuclear weapons out of nowhere?
Yes.
Did the Dreamstone build a wall around Cairo?
Yes. What are you hinting at?
Did the Dreamstone bring like gardens popping out of nowhere?
And cows.
And cows.
What else do you want to know from me?
Why didn't they just bring Steve Trevor back as a body?
I don't know. Maybe you can't resurrect dead people.
But you can kill people with a wish.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know in what kind of physics that goes. Is that like science fiction physics or whatever? I don't know how that works. I haven't majored in either earthling physics nor in superhero physics, so I can't answer this question for you. It's kind of like the multiverse that Marvel told us how it works. I'm still not sure how it works, but that multiverse theory seemed more thought through than this entire fucking movie, I'm telling you that much.
Yeah. So Steve is back. We're just gonna, okay, we're taking this at face value. Steve is back. And
yes,
that's happened. That's happened. And okay, so the next step of what the fuck, okay, they need to go to Egypt. Because that's where Max Lord has gone to form some oil deals with some Egyptian oil king, right? So he's going to Egypt, and Diana and Steve must also go to Egypt. Oh, but how are they going to get there? Steve died 40 years ago. He doesn't have a passport. How are we going to get across the the Atlantic Ocean? How? Like, okay, so dude, number one, this dude probably has a passport, okay? They should probably just, like, look around his apartment and maybe find his passport.
Which they did in general.
No, they absolutely didn't.
Also, in the 80s, life was different. Who the fuck needed a passport in the 80s?
Well, it doesn't even matter anyway. Because they just went into an airfield at the back of the Smithsonian, and Steve was like, oh my God, look at these planes. Aren't they amazing? I've never seen any planes like this. 1940s pilot, Steve says. And like, this one, I want to fly this one. So they pick a random fighter jet that's already fueled sitting in the airfield of the Smithsonian, and they get in it. And Steve's like, oh, look at all these controls. It's been over 40 years. These are all so different. And I'm going to fly this plane like nothing has changed. And I was like... What is going on?
At this point in the story, I was already so confused that didn't even occur to me that that could be an issue. I was like, whatever. Like, at this point in time, we're probably like 30 minutes in. I'm already done with the movie at that point. So I stopped questioning every single decision that they make, because the decisions they made in the first 30 minutes were already so questionable that I was like, whatever.
But so they're up in the air, right? And people like the mission control, like flight controllers at the Smithsonian are like, there's somebody flying our plane. What's going on here? We should send people after them. And just wonderfully, magically, Diana realizes that, oh, was it her dad? My dad used to have this power to, you know, make things invisible. I've only managed it once, but maybe I can actually make this plane invisible. Okay, I'm going to try to make this plane invisible. Okay. And poof, the plane disappears from radar because they're invisible. And like, they're just two people.
As radar obviously works, it works on sight.
I can't. And it just so happens. Okay, sorry. It just so happens that it's the 4th of July, okay? So they're flying their invisible plane through all these fireworks, and it's pretty, and the colors are just lighting up the sky, and they're like...
Has anyone ever told a bat that radar works on sight?
I can't. I'm talking about it. I'm just like, this movie was so bad. Like, I can't. Even the moments that I'm like, this must have been very... This could have been a beautiful moment, like the plane flying through the fireworks and lighting up the sky and it being magical and romantic, and it could have been amazing, but it was just cheesy and horrible and just added to my confusion.
I mean, there was oh Jesus, there was so much confusion, honestly. and then because... And obviously that all goes fucking rampage. So Max Lord not only wants the stone and takes the stone and steals the stone, he becomes the stone.
But when we say he becomes the stone, he does not actually literally become a stone, because no, that would actually make too much sense when he says, I want to become the dream stone. He does not become a stone. He just has the power to grant the dreams, and the stone just disintegrates. And he now has the power to grant wishes.
And also he's kind of getting super... That's hard, more intense than any speed that they probably had in the 80s or whatever drugs they used in the 80s, because he needs more wishes. He needs more fucking wishes. And he's getting so obsessed with getting more wishes that he's just randomly asking everyone to hold his fucking hand and say something I wish for, whatever the fuck.
So he goes to Egypt.
Yeah.
And he grants the first wish from this, like, oil tycoon, oil, I don't know, oil.
Yeah, whatever, rich prince. Oil person, Saudi, whatever.
And he's like, what do you want most of all? And hold my hand. And he's like, I wish to be the king of Egypt, or whatever he says, and starts a war. And this wall just
magical wall just comes up and cuts off the town from, or the city from the rest of Egypt, and like right in the middle of walls, and there's a car stuck halfway in the wall because it just shows up and the car is stuck in the wall now, and people are like teetering on the top, and people on the outside are like, how are we gonna get in the city? And people on the inside are like, how are we gonna get our water? And everyone else is like, there's a wall. Anybody else notice this wall? Like, what is even happening here?
But at the same time, he drives out of this wall.
Of course.
Max Lord leaves the premises, kind of being able to cross this wall. That period. That's it. It's just a wall. But as time goes on, he obviously grants way more wishes, and the world gets an even more horrible, horrible, horrible place. Because, oh my god, when everybody gets their wishes granted, shit things happen, like people come to life and whatever. And the longer the time goes on, and the longer also Stephen, Chris Pine Steve is alive or whatever it is that it is, Diana, also known as Wonder Woman, starts to kind of lose her powers. Like slowly but steadily, she kind of, it's not as strong anymore. She can't hold her lasso anymore. She's just like... And she notices, right? She notices.
Oh, well, yeah, you would if you're used to being able to lasso the sky and fly for miles, and all of a sudden you can't, and you're falling from like, you run out of space. And you know when she first notices, and this was a big bit of contention on Twitter, because, of course, I went to Twitter after watching this, and I was like, do other people hate this movie? Was it just me? Oh, no, other people hate the movie. And so there's a scene where they're doing a chase down this random Egyptian road, totally like barren land. It's like Diana and Steve and Max Lord and all his Egyptian sidekicks. And there's missiles and bullets, and they're speeding down. And there's this like, there's these children playing in the road, playing soccer, football, whatever you want to call it, in the road. And there's like this high speed chase coming at them. And the kids are just dumb and oblivious kids. They don't notice that there's a high-speed chase coming down at them. And the parents are standing right there, and they don't say, like, hey, kids, do you not notice the high-speed chase coming down the road? Perhaps you should get off the road. No, because that would make too much sense. I need to have Diana be the hero of this situation. And she, like, swoops in, and she leaps, gets the kids in her arms, but then her lasso like stops working because her powers are going away, and she kind of rolls, and I don't know how that she didn't kill the kids, because like that was just as dangerous as the trucks hitting them, you know, like falling from the sky. And and then she's like, shh, don't tell anyone that this happened. And it's like, okay. But then Twitter, thank you Twitter, let's talk about this. Okay, so this is the scene. Gal Gadot saves four kids playing soccer from getting hit with a missile. We're quoting from Evil Needle, who says, in 2014, this is true story. Okay, for anybody who doesn't know, Gal Gadot was former Israeli military. Okay, she like was very pro-Israel and in the military. And okay, whether it was like something that was state scripted or state sanctioned, she had to do it or not, background. So in 2014... four young boys were killed by an Israeli mortar strike while playing soccer on a Gaza beach during a bombing campaign that Gal Gadot was vocally supportive of.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. Gal Gadot, 7 years ago, was like very supportive of this bombing of the Gaza Strip. And four boys were killed. So this is like... in the film here, she's saving these children from playing soccer on a street that could have looked quite similar to a street at the Gaza Strip. And yeah,
no, I can't like her anymore either. Fucking hell.
Yeah, I was like, don't know how I feel about this. Like, obviously, that's really poor writing. That's really, like, it's just really tone deaf that they've put that in. Because, like, okay, these boys in... like, the children in the film, in Wonder Woman, weren't being targeted by a missile. Wonder Woman used the missile to get herself closer so that she could save them from this, you know, high-speed chase coming at them and put them offside. But, of course, it's like Gal Gadot being painted as this hero when she was vocally in support of all this shit happening on Gaza Strip.
Where also, how fucking weird. Like, I don't even have words for this. What the fuck?
Yeah. So it just gets worse. Like, it gets worse. Yeah, sorry.
If Brie Larson breaks my superhero, woman superhero heart, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I say it now because Gal Gadot can now also fuck off, obviously.
So back to the movie. They fly back to America, and so does Max, whatever Lord. His name is. Max Lord, thank you. I was like, Max Payne. Who is Max Payne? Not somebody in this film, but he's back as well. And he's starting to like show physical signs of wear and tear from granting people's wishes. And he goes to see the president because that's a thing. So he goes to see the president and is like, just happens to see these plans in the Oval Office of like this new satellite system that can reach every single person in the world. And that's a way that he can get more wishes and gain more power. Yeah, so he flies to this remote island and is like, I'm gonna go on that satellite TV system and broadcast to everyone in the world because everyone in the world speaks English and ask them all for their wishes. So he's like there with this gigantic like swirling wind and power around him, getting wishes from these people all over the world. And that's a thing that's happening.
And this entire time, I would like to add that to all this entire time, the actual also villain, who is Barbara, is merely a fucking sidekick from... She doesn't even have like a proper own storyline. The storyline that she had was kind of weird already in the general, and then at most of the movie she's literally just a sidekick of either the Max Lord, the super evil guy, or she's used by Gal Gadot, by Diana, to actually get into to actually do things for her. So she's never really her own, and when she is, she's just, well, she's not really her own through the entire movie. And then in the end, well, Wonder Woman defeats her anyway, like in the weakest way possible.
Oh yeah.
But yes, to the situation that Amanda was talking and referring to, Wonder Woman, they kind of figure out that in order to make this all go away again, people need to revoke their wishes. And the wonderful Chris Pine, Steve whatever, not Rogers,
Steve Trevor.
Trevor. He's the one who has to tell Wonder Woman that that's what has to happen, because she can't get herself to do it herself, even though she knows it the entire time. But we need to sit through an entire scene of him telling her that it's okay to revoke the wish and to be gone, basically. And that's also something where I'm like, this is like the least superhero move and least unempowering move I've ever seen in a movie that's about empowering women in their own fucking choices.
Yeah, this movie, it just went from bad to worse. Like, okay, we have Lovesick Diana, but then we have like whatever this is. Like, it was disgusting. It was disappointing. I was like, there is nothing super about what they have done to this superhero. Like, this is pathetic. This is, like, uninspiring. This is sad.
He has to basically force her. She's not even all the time while he's telling her that she needs to do this. She's like, but I can't and I won't and I don't want to let you go and whatever. Me. Foo, no, no. Ugh. And then and then she runs away. And then she suddenly gets all her powers back because she revoked her wish. And then she's having this, at the very end scene, where, like, almost very end scene that Amanda was talking about, while Max Lord is in the middle of this satellite getting all the wishes in the fucking world and the world is trying to go to pieces and Wonder Woman is in the room.
And she can't get her little lasso to go through this, like, lightning windstorm because it's so much more powerful than fully restored Wonder Woman. But then all of a sudden she does. She gets her little lasso and, like, it goes around his ankle. And now...
without him noticing.
Yeah. And now she's talking through her lasso to the world and being like, we need to renounce our wishes. You need to give back all that you've got. We need to get the world back on order. And I'm like, Is it that easy? Like, do you actually think that
everybody the whole world is complies?
Do this? Every single person, all 7 billion people who have made wishes, all are like, yeah, no problem. I'll give back all of these things that I have wished for. Like, no problem whatsoever. Gonna do that. Absolutely gonna do that.
And that's it.
That's it. World goes back to normal. That's it.
World goes back to normal. Max Lord goes back to his son. Diana goes back to the Smithsonian. And all of a sudden, the attractive man, also known as Steve Trevor just before that, is back.
Oh yeah, back like nothing ever happened. He's just like standing in a Christmas market. Because it's Christmas now.
And they start
to talk. Even though it was like literally just the 4th of July, now it's Christmas.
Well,
I mean, really, the timeline in this movie, it didn't leave me to think that, like, a whole 6 months had gone past, though. Like, it kind of...
As if the timeline was the fucking problem in this movie.
Well, the timeline certainly is contributing here, because it was the 4th of July, and now it's Christmas, and it felt like it was only maybe 3 days.
Maybe it took her these 6 months to get over the fact that now he's really, really gone. Whatever.
Maybe. So they're standing in a Christmas market. And, oh, he just happens to be wearing the same outfit that she wanted Steve to wear. But Steve was like, I look ridiculous in this. And she's like, yeah. I like your outfit. And he's like, oh, thanks. My friends say you look really silly, but I like it. And then there's a balloon, and she's just like standing there and she's content. And I was getting like, do you remember that video, that Imagine video of like that Gal Gadot did and like got all these celebrities involved, and it was really awful. Like, it was like,
don't remember.
No, we talked about it on Geek Girl in the News, and it was like her singing, and it didn't go over very well because it was like right at the beginning of COVID, and like people were just locking down, and she was like, oh, I thought that it would be a nice thing to like have all these celebrities singing from our mansions while like half the world is on fire.
Oh, okay, I remember that.
And so at the end of this film, I just got this like well wishes, like, oh, the world is so perfect and it's because of me. And I'm like, missed yet another mark.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the movie.
That's the movie. That's it. It's the whole thing.
I kind of need to see it again to think of the things that you talked about. Because some things I wasn't... Because again, I already clocked out by the time to even question any more of their decisions in that film. And... Charlie in chat says he's so glad that he didn't spend money to watch it.
I feel you, Charlie.
Me too. Yeah.
Like, it's really, really sad, this movie, compared to the first Wonder Woman.
Yes.
It was disappointing. It was tone deaf. It was straight up horrible. Like, the scene in Egypt, like, with the soccer and the boys and the saving, like...
That's definitely not a coincidence. I can't imagine that, A, this is a coincidence, and B, nobody fucking noticed. Like, how many people are, like, their life revolve around Gal Gadot and no shit like that, and then nobody notices and nobody says something? Can't be a coincidence.
No. No. They're just no. Like, watch the movie up until... Wonder Woman beats up the man trying to like hit on or rape or whatever to like Barbara in the park, and then just turn it off, because that's when it just is awful.
Yeah.
Just do yourself a favor. We've told you how awful it is. Plot holes galore, questionable everything.
And we haven't even talked about the golden armor, but that was so unnecessary also in that movie.
The wings.
That doesn't even
There's so much more. Barbara deciding that she's going to beat up that guy who was like harassing her, and I'm like, okay, but like,
beat up is an understatement. She almost if nobody would have come around, then she would have killed him, obviously. I don't know, it was a ride.
And it was not one I wanted. My ticket, I want a refund. I know I didn't pay for this movie, but I want a refund.
I know. It's so sad. It's so sad. We need so much. Women are craving nice representation. Women are craving superheroes for them, right? And then we get this freaking bullshit. Like, you made such a nice movie the first time around. You figured it out. You could make it happen. And now this. Why the fuck this? Why?
Here, here. I agree. Table flip. Like, I'm done. Yeah.
Table flip, mic drop, whatever. Fuck this shit. Maybe don't watch it.
I would not recommend. Like, if this was 5.5, I would bust this. Like, yeah. This is a big thumbs down for me. I could not even stick it as a 5.5. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it was so awful in so many ways. Plot holes, morality, women's rights, feminism. Like, there's just everything. I'm like, there's nothing good about this film except for Kristen Wiig as Barbara in, like, the first 20 minutes of the film. And then it's like, no.
Yeah.
No.
That is true. So, yeah, that's it. That's our statement to the movie. Don't watch it. Watch Captain Marvel 3 times over. Or watch Captain Marvel and Spider-Verse. Because even Spider-Verse, even though it's not about a female superhero, has more female superhero representation than Wonder Woman 84.
Agreed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that because I watched Spider-Verse again on the weekend.
I saw that.
And I love Spider-Gwen, so she's amazing. I would watch a movie with Spider-Gwen 100% immediately, without a doubt.
Agreed. 100%.
Cool.
So that's it
for today's episode.
Hope you make better choices than Wonder Woman 1984 did.
Yes. But also at the same time, it's not really that hard to make better choices than that movie. So maybe that's just something for self-confidence or whatever, that whatever you do in your life is really not as shit as that movie. Oh, God.
I had a merch idea for a t-shirt that just says, like, make better choices than 1989 Wonder Woman.
Cool. So thanks again for listening this week, and thanks for staying with us in this episode and this rancho that was this episode. And hopefully we see you again next week for another amazing episode of Geek Hearing.
Yay!
Bye!
Bye! If you like this episode of Geek Hearing, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Hearing and over on geekhearing.com.